Blog Talk Radio.
You are now connected to the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Taking on 2,000 years of indoctrination, 2 hours at a time.
Sink or swim, deep end information.
Asking questions no one else will.
Parabiblical research, spiritual technology, personal empowerment.
Be your own guru.
Master your own ascension.
Guide your own spirit.
And now, showing you how, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Well, hello, this is Jeffrey Dardy. Glad to be with you again. It is Tuesday as I record this broadcast. It's the Fresh Daily Show, the Fresh Daily version of the Jeffrey Dardy Show, the Christian Whistleblower Show. That's our two-hour show. We have it every Wednesday night. Check jeffreydardy.com, christianwhistleblower.com. To find out more information about how you can hear that show. And the Fresh Daily Show is a daily, at least 3 days a week, bite-sized version that we prepare especially for our audience on deprogrammed radio. And we're glad to be here and glad to be able to do this for you. And here we go again. With the Fresh Daily Show, I'm Jeffrey Dardy, and I'm glad to be with you. Of course, we always talk about what's going on the Religion Watch Daily. It used to be Religion Watch Daily. Now it's Unindoctrinate Daily, as we help you and encourage you to unindoctrinate yourself. North Dakota has become the first state in the United States to legalize the use of armed drones by the police. This from the Independent out of the UK. Armed drones could be used by police in the U.S. state of North Dakota after local lawmakers legalized their use. I tell you what, folks, it just gets curiouser and curiouser over here in the United States. I don't know how we could be so foolish as to legalize the use of armed drones by the police. The article goes on to say that, oh, of course, it'll be non-lethal type of armament, things like, you know, rubber bullets and tear gas and things of that nature. But, you know, I was just completing or going over the text of my latest book again. It's going to be ready to be released here before too long. And part of the Book of Revelation, which is not, the Book of Revelation is not God's plan for what's going to happen in the last days. It is a warning of a false flag occurrence perpetrated by the Lord, who is a fallen God, a bad guy. And I remember talking about and writing about and thinking about some of the imagery there would be very perfectly descriptive of armed drones. And here we have the first armed drone in the state of North Dakota. North Dakota probably, I'm going to go out on a limb and say North Dakota may be a populated state in the United States. North Dakota, I don't know, maybe Wyoming, but North Dakota is definitely one of the least populated states in the United States. Perhaps the idea is to roll out the legalization of armed drones in North Dakota, let it gain some momentum and go on from there. Bad idea. Let me be on the record. For those of you that thought I was crazy when I said Biden was going to get into the U.S. race and he was probably going to win the Democratic nomination and he'd probably do it running as the incumbent president. Well, you were making a lot of fun of me, but now the newest Monmouth survey, Biden now leads Bernie Sanders and Biden is closing in on Hillary Clinton. Clinton's lead drops further as interest in Biden grows is the headline. So I don't know, folks. It looks like it's coming together. And speaking of U.S. politics, Mike Huckabee, who you may not have known it, but he's running for president. Nobody else knows it because he's doing terribly. Mike Huckabee says of the clerk in some backward state, I think it's Kentucky, and I just offended everyone in Kentucky. I'm sorry, but culturally, there's a lot of backward people in Kentucky. Sorry about that, but it's true anyhow. My dad was born in Kentucky, so that tells you a little bit about me. But this is the lady that wouldn't issue marriage license to gay folks, but of course she will issue divorce certificates to people, which one is just as bad as the other, biblically speaking. But at any rate, Mike Huckabee says that God intervened to allow Kim Davis to be released, which I find very interesting, that God did not intervene or has not intervened in the migrant crisis over in Europe. God has not intervened in the Middle East quagmire. God did not intervene on probably tens of thousands of people who died of cancer yesterday. God did not intervene in tens of thousands of people that died in accidents yesterday worldwide. But somehow, God chose to intervene on the behalf of Kim Davis and deliver her from prison for not authorizing or granting marriage licenses to gay people. Really, Mr. Huckabee? Your God, sir, I find most interesting. While you're on jeffreydaugherty.com checking out Religion Watch Daily, check out our shop as well. We've got a great shop. We've got a lot of high-quality products in there. In fact, I'm wearing the brand-new Unindoctrinate Yourself T-shirt. I've got the V-neck version, very nice. We've got the Apostle Paul Antichrist ebook and paperback. We've got the Diamond New Testament and the NT Lai compilation pack. There's two books there, so you can get the full skinny on the lie and the corruption of the New Testament. A lot of great stuff there, so take a look at our shop on jeffreydaugherty.com. I think you'll be glad that you did. And today I want to talk to you about, and probably for this entire week, I want to talk about the subject of the dynamic duo. And I've been working a lot today, so my voice is a little thin. I apologize in advance. But we did last week the Goddess Arise series, and you really need to take a listen to that if you've not listened to it. Just dynamic teaching. And I know it sounds weird for me to say it because I was doing it, but you know, the things that I teach come from 30, 40 years of study. And you know, I'm looking at things, I'm doing things that no one else is doing, and proudly so. And you should listen to it. It's great stuff. Goddess Arise, that was last week's Fresh Daily Show. So take a look at that. I've just purchased ParanormalCleansing.com. That's going to be part of our tour that we'll be launching here by the end of the year, or right at the first of the year. So if you have homes, people, pets, places that need to be cleansed from paranormal entities, I can help you out. Now, of course, I'm not the guy that's going to help you make a mini-series by recording things and videotaping things, although I am learning more about that. Someone said to me that it doesn't hurt to learn more, because I've been very strong in the spiritual end of taking care of things, but not on the technology end. And someone said we live in a physical and a spiritual world, so it doesn't hurt to know both. So I have great respect for people that do that. So anyway, that's Paranormal Cleansing, ParanormalCleansing.com. Look for that in the next few days and weeks as we roll that out in full. So part of the reason I want you to listen to the Goddess Arise is because we need to realize and work to attain our masculine and feminine balance. And I'm not just talking about the men need to work in the masculine, the women need to work in the feminine. The men need to work in the feminine, and the women need to work on the masculine. We each individually must attain a masculine-feminine balance, and collectively we must attain a masculine-feminine balance. You know, Crowley wrote, "To do as thou will." It's the extent of the law. Do as thou will is the whole law. And a lot of people think that means, oh, do whatever you want. And I'm not certainly endorsing everything that Crowley said, but the essence of do what thou will being the fullness of the law is if you do what you're really supposed to do and I do what I'm really supposed to do, the universe, the divinity has directed each of us to do a specific thing. So as you do what you do your full will and I do my full will, since yours is yours and mine is mine, we'll never interact or be in discord with one another. And by doing things as our to our fullness, doing our will to its fullness, that is the extent of the law because we each become the fullness of what we're supposed to be. I talk about it as finding and fulfilling your great basic purpose. And whoo, man, 95% of you listening to the sound of my voice are not fulfilling your great basic purpose. You're not doing your will. I'm pretty sure that the amount of you that are sitting in cubicles slaving for somebody else, building their dreams, is not what you were meant to be. But that's this show's not about that. So anyway, we need to attain masculine and feminine balance individually and collectively. The Lord, the bad guy, the Lord knows this and uses big time religion to keep us from grasping it. Because if he can keep us from attaining balance, masculine, feminine, he can keep us from becoming all we're supposed to be. He substitutes a lot of stuff, and his law, the Lord's law, is a bit and a bridle to have us go where he wants us to go. Yeshua said something very interesting in Matthew chapter 11. I'm not going to tell you where, because you can look it up. It's part of your homework. I shouldn't have told you it was Matthew. But he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And what? Let me break this down to you in the original, or break it down to you in English directly from the original. Yeshua says, and this is not stuff I make up. You can go online and get an interlinear Greek to English and read it just as I'm reading it. But Yeshua said, "Come unto me, all of you who are exhausted and labor with wearisome effort and toil." So Yeshua is saying, "Come unto me, all of you who are exhausted and labor with wearisome effort and toil." What's he talking about specifically? What has exhausted these people? What are these people laboring at? What are these people engaging in wearisome effort and toil in regards to? Now, this isn't talking about working in the cubicle, although it's part of it. And what he's talking about is this: "Come unto me, all ye that are exhausted and labor with wearisome effort and toil, burdened down with rites, precepts, and requirements of tradition and the law, and I will take the burden off you and give you refreshment." Do you understand what you're hearing? Yeshua is saying, all of you that are exhausted, laboring, weary, burdened down with rites, precepts, and requirements of religion. And unless you really have come to the place where you realize you're exhausted, you're laboring, you have wearisome effort, you have burden, you have toil, until you realize that, that won't mean a thing to you. And if it doesn't, this probably isn't for you. This is for somebody else. If this is for you, grab it, use it, internalize it. If it's not, just let it go on by. And Yeshua is speaking to Sadducees here. And of course, there were two major groups, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And I'll let you on some knowledge that you think, why do I care? Well, you will once we get through things. The Sadducees, the defining characteristic of the Sadducees was that they did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. Pharisees believed in resurrection from the dead, of course, in the future. Sadducees did not. So Jesus, Yeshua, and Matthew You can look this one up. I won't give you the reference. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, this is how Yeshua taught. He was not hesitant to slap a brother when he needed to be slapped, or to backhand a sister when she needed to be backhanded. Rhetorically speaking, of course. John Tudor, don't try that with Sally. Oh, man, that would be something. But at any rate, but regarding the resurrection of the dead, Yeshua said, have you not read what was spoken to you? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm not the God of the dead, but of the living. And again, if I break this down to you in the original language straight to English, Yeshua says, God's not concerned with corpses coming back to life. He's focused on the life of the living. That's what Yeshua said. I'm not that interested in corpses coming back to life. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. God is not concerned with corpses coming back to life. He's focused on living the life that we have now. Very interesting. And of course, absolutely confounding to the Sadducees and to the Pharisees as well. What he just said was, Yeshua, he said he's going to relieve the people of the burden of the Mosaic law and of religious tradition. And he made sure how to say he was not going to do it, as if he saw the future. Follow the train of thought. You're burdened, you're beaten down, you're tired of the requirements and the toils of religiosity. I'm going to relieve it from you, but I'm going to relieve you from it and it from you, but I'm not interested in bringing corpses back from the dead. Interesting. I'm not interested in bringing corpses back to from the dead. I'm not interested in corpses coming back to life. I'm focused on the life, the living. Yeshua made damn sure that we understood that he was not going to lead us to freedom via dead corpses coming back to life. Yeah. I just said that. Yeshua made damn sure that we understand he's not going to lead us to freedom via dead corpses coming back to life. Therefore, our focus as concerns Yeshua should be on what his life was, not on the teaching of his corpse supposedly coming back to life. Our focus on Yeshua should not be on his corpse supposedly coming back to life, but rather on the life he lived and the things he taught. Let that sink in for a second. Our focus concerning Yeshua should be on his life and what he taught, not on the teaching of his corpse supposedly coming back to life. Because Yeshua himself said, I'm not concerned with corpses coming back to life. I'm concerned about the life that was lived. This is a poetic way of Yeshua saying, my flesh matters not. My flesh means nothing. My words, they are spirit and they are life. Yeshua said, my life doesn't mean anything. This flesh, this body means nothing. My spirit, my words, their life. Some of you are getting this. And some of you are getting upset. That's okay. But Yeshua said, look, he was speaking prophetically here. And he said, they're going to turn my message into something about corpses coming back to life. Has nothing to do with that. My message is my message. Christianity focuses on the death of Jesus and what happened. Christianity focuses basically, 99% of Christian focus is what happened on the cross, allegedly, and forward. Yeshua's message, every important thing that he ever said, and the things that change our lives happened before the cross. The message of Yeshua is from the day he showed up during John's baptisms, John the Baptist, all the way through to the day that he wrecked the temple, all the tables and stuff, and stopped the sacrifice. Christianity's message begins basically from the day he went to that cross, allegedly, and forward. But Jeff, what about Bethlehem and all that? Well, we'll deal with that too. But the big thing is that Yeshua is saying, look, forget about my corpse coming back to life. That ain't where it's at. Look at the life I lived before that. That's the most important thing. And in case we didn't get the message, John chapter 6, verse 63, I think you need this one. My flesh profits nothing, the words I speak unto you. They are spirit. They are life. My flesh, here's your literal translation, my flesh and all that happens and pertains to it is worthless. That's Yeshua, not Darty. My body, Yeshua said, my body and all that happens to it, all that pertains to it is worthless, meaningless. The words and teachings I give are what brings spiritual life, and that more abundantly. That right there is the single most powerful message that you've ever heard, and it destroys big time religion. That is the end of Roman Catholicism. That is the end of Roman Protestantism. Because Roman Catholicism and Roman Protestantism are all about the flesh of Jesus and what happened to it. All things that Yeshua said are worthless. Your religion, if you're a Christian, is built and based upon the flesh of Jesus and what happened to it. Yeshua's faith is based on the words and teachings that he gave before any of these events allegedly occurred. But the Pharisees are like some of you. And conversely, you are like some of the Pharisees. You don't learn so quickly. Matthew 22, the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. They gathered themselves together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Yeshua a question, testing him, trying to, in the literal rendering, it says, one of the Pharisees, a lawyer, interrogated Yeshua rudely, trying to catch him in his words, trying to set a trap. This man was a lawyer, one learned in the law. By the way, I believe this was Paul, then still known as Saul of Tarsus. And he asked Yeshua, he said, what's the greatest commandment in the law? That's in Matthew, I'll give you that. And remember, it was a rude question, trying to set Yeshua up or catch him. It was a gotcha question. And Yeshua had just said, remember, I'm going to relieve men of the burden of the law. And here comes this pipsqueak saying, what's the most important part of the law? Well, Yeshua, you know, probably just shook his head and is thinking, I just told this guy I'm going to get rid of the law. But, you know, it amazes me that even though the original language clearly shows this question was a rude, trap-baiting jab at Yeshua, the clergy of Christianity consistently and exclusively treat this question like it was legitimate and then lift up its answers as an example of profundity. It was a gotcha question asked by a guy that was trying to be rude to Yeshua, and the people that claim to be the followers of Yeshua don't know this and lift it up as something that is profound and should be learned from. It's, you know, it's about like learning or basing your doctrine on a knock-knock joke. It's about as sensible as basing your doctrine on a knock-knock joke. I mean, here's a guy, the Bible clearly says, this is a rude question asked of Yeshua trying to ensnare him. And Christianity uses this as a profound question and teaches great flowing doctrines on based upon its answer. It's like basing your doctrine on a knock-knock joke. Knock-knock. Who's there? Stew. Stew who? Stupid enough to base doctrine on this rude question. What is wrong with you people? Oh, man. I just don't get it sometimes. And then Yeshua answered the question, you shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, according to the King James Version. Actually, the King James says you shall love the Lord your God, and there's a whole bunch to that. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, according to the King James Version. The literal rendering is recognize, love, the absolute ownership and mastery of the Creator inside you, in your heart, in your breath, in your very essence. This pipsqueak asked a question about the Lord ruling over you, and Yeshua turned it on his head and said, look, obviously you didn't get the part where I just said I'm doing away with the law, because the most important thing about the law is that you have to recognize and love the absolute ownership and mastery of the Creator inside you. The most important thing for you to know about the law is that the law is wrong, burdensome, a matrix based on guilt, fear, and control. And the most important thing for you to know about the law is to recognize this and recognize the antithesis that absolute ownership and mastery of the Creator is inside you, in your heart, in your very breath, in your very essence. Yeshua ate him up rhetorically. Yeshua blew the entirety of his religious value system completely out of the water. Yeshua was echoing what he just said prior to this. He's reiterating that it's not about commandments. It's not about religious regulations. It's not about rules. It's not about practices. It's not about corpses. He gives the real stuff. It's all about God in you. So the first and greatest commandment, the first piece of the dynamic duo, is for you to realize the divinity in you. Not according to Daugherty, but according to Yeshua. The first most important thing is for you to recognize the divinity in you and get out of the religion business and get into the Yeshua business. Cliff's going to tell you how you can get in touch with me before the show tomorrow, should you need to. Until then, I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, encouraging you to unindoctrinate yourself.
Stay connected with the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. On Facebook, follow Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show, and on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Visit ChristianWhistleblower.com today to learn how to create yourself and to live the life you'll love.